as it is time to talk KU Colorado basketball. That's right. Tonight, it will be the number 7th-ranked Kansas Jayhawks heading to Boulder to take on the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffaloes are 9-3. The Jayhawks are 9-1. Here to talk about the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. We've had on the program many times before. A great man that really doesn't need any introduction, especially if he's got to deal with John Bowden repeatedly day after day after day after day after day. But it is Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Fantastic. Yeah, I was out in Kansas last week with John doing some pheasant hunting, and now he and his family are out here for the game tonight. So I'm getting a double dose of Bowden the last week.
You can,
good to be on with you.
You can never get enough Bowden, apparently. So
amen to that. No doubt about that.
Well, hey, tell me what's going on out in Colorado. I've been hearing about there's a snow shortage, and they're trying to make their own snow out there.
Yeah, it's, you know, Wade, as I told you before, I mean, I live up in the mountains, and normally by this time of year, I mean, holy cow, we've normally had two or three, you know, 3-4 foot snows, and up at my ranch, we've got right now. You can walk outside, and you'll see some traces of snow, and you know, kind of the shady areas, if you will, but or on the north side of buildings. But you're not seeing anything anywhere else, and so yeah, there's a shortage of snow. There's no doubt about that. And I've been here now for what almost 18 years, I guess, in Colorado, and you know, this happens on occasion, but. Yeah, we're right now getting to the point where you're thinking, man, we need a couple of big dumpers at this point in time to kind of get us back to normal. And we always get nervous, of course, when the snow's not coming down because that means the reservoirs aren't going to be filled, and then the water shortage and the fire issues. So yeah, it's getting a little concerning out here.
Speaking of concerning, can you give us update on where things are out west in your neck of the woods and in the conference in the Pac-12 with COVID?
Well, yeah, you're hearing. I know that a couple of games have been called off, and so you know that it's rearing its ugly head once again. I do wonder, and I'm sure you've probably talked about this or mentioned this to your listeners there. You know what the NFL did last week, making that announcement that they're not going to no longer test those who do not have symptoms, and that's going to affect, you know, from a game standpoint, positively moving forward, and so. Yeah, this is really, you know, we've talked about this in your show before. I mean, over the last couple of years, it's an interesting time. It's, you know, we're kind of walking into the wilderness here, not exactly sure what we're going to find. And so, yeah, things are evolving right now. But, yeah, it's starting to affect some games like it has in the NFL and it has in the NBA and, you know, now in college basketball. And I'm sure it'll maybe touch some bowl games if we're not careful here. So, yeah, it certainly is an interesting time.
Well, we do have college basketball tonight. It is Colorado versus Kansas. I had a chance to go to the game. First time I've been down Fieldhouse in a couple of years, of course, with the fan restrictions a year ago. Went to the game on Saturday. Kansas struggled in that one. Stephen F. Austin is a good mid-major team, no doubt, but Bill Self was not happy with the way his team played, and even the guy that was kind of the hero of the game, he was pretty critical of afterwards. And so many people are familiar with KU, and we've talked about the Jayhawks on this show, but I have you on the show today to tell us a little bit more about their opponent tonight, the Buffaloes. You know them, of course, very well, as you're the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. What can you tell us about this Buffalo team, and what are some things that we should know as we go into this game against the Jayhawks tonight?
Well, they're an exceedingly talented team. Here's the issue with Colorado. They've only got two upperclassmen on the team. So, Evan Batty inside, who KU fans have seen prior, the last time the Buffs and the Jayhawks met, is 6'8", 260. He's kind of the cornerstone of the team. Big, strong guy inside. He and McCormick should be kind of an interesting matchup with the kind of the size and physicality those two have tonight. And very solid inside. Not a high-flying guy, but, you know, smart, makes the right plays, moves bodies around, that kind of thing. And then Eli Parquet is the only other senior on the team. There are no juniors on this squad. And he's a, you know, kind of a heady, very athletic, you know, two-man guard. Not a great three-point shooter, but capable three-point shooter, gets to the rim, you know, rebounds very well, great defender. He's been an all Pac-12 defensive team member in the past. So they're kind of the guys leading the squad. Now, outside of that, you know, Tad, on occasion, I joke with him, he's going to wipe their noses sometimes when they come to the timeout. I mean, they're just kids out there, but they are talented. I mean, Jabari Walker's a second-year player. His father was Samaki Walker, who played in the NBA, of course, for many, many years. Very talented kid. Now, he took a shot to the head on Saturday. Yeah, the victory for the Buffaloes as they knocked off CSU Bakersfield in Boulder, and there was a little concern about that. He didn't only play for what, 4.5 minutes or so in that ball game before he got knocked out. He's gone through concussion protocol. He's going to play. Very talented kid, very athletic. The two wings for the Buffaloes, you got Jabari Walker at one side and Tristan Da Silva, whose brother was an all-conference player for many years for Stanford a few years ago. Very gifted, both of them at 6'10", 6'9", kind of guys. Both can put it on the floor. Both can shoot the three. And then in the backcourt, and after having a guy like McKinley Wright, who KU fans will remember, he played a long time, and now he's with the Minnesota Timberwolves in the NBA and was just a phenomenal, who was one of the greats in Colorado history. He moves on to the NBA, and so it's really a point guard by committee at this point in time. You got a couple of very young guys who are trying to figure it out. And so, you know, they struggle at times. They have some turnover issues at times, which is not good against a team like Kansas, which, of course, you know, you use the football term, it's a pick six. When you turn over against Kansas, it's a dunk on the other end. And so they got to be careful with that tonight. So it's a talented team, but, again, they're very young. As Tad Boyle said here a couple of weeks ago, he said, we're not a good team, we're a dangerous team. And I think that's a testament to the youth, the talent, but also the inconsistency with Colorado.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, our guest today on Sports Ticket. Preview KU and CU tonight in Boulder, and you can hear it on Z96.3 Lake with the pregame show starting at 7:30 here Central Time and tip-off at 8 o'clock. Three-point shooting. I've been reading a little bit about the Buffaloes. One of the articles says that the Buffaloes, not a great three-point shooting team, and then also the question is three-point defense, and that's something that, you know, back in the day, we really didn't talk much about it, did we? It's like, oh, they're good at shooting three-pointers, but now it's all of a sudden, how good is your three-point defense? Well, how good is the Buffalo's three-point defense?
Well, and I know that's going to be obviously a big deal against KU tonight, a team that shoots at, you know, about, what, 38-39% or so from downtown. Well, again, the word inconsistent applies to this basketball team for Colorado from top to bottom in many respects. I mean, it does on the offensive end with three-point shooting. They had a terrible stretch prior to the game on Saturday. And on Saturday, they got out and hit 7-17, so they shot very, very well from three-point range. Defensively, they've had those issues as well. They were down in the Virgin Islands for a tournament right around Thanksgiving and were terrible defensively from the three-point line. But now they've come back and actually played pretty well. In fact, CSU Bakersfield the other day went 2-14, so they played very well. So, you know, depending on what game you're talking about and what night, and I think that's the thing that Tad has talked about with this team kind of moving forward this season. It is going to be, there are going to be some ups, there are going to be some downs, they're going to lose a game they're not supposed to, they're going to win a game they're not supposed to, and what he's hoping to do is kind of polish off the rough edges as this season moves on and have this team begin to understand with the intensity you've got to play defensively, how you got to bring that, you know, for an entire basketball game for all 40 minutes, how you have to help each other defensively, all the keys that good teams do to be good teams. This team has to continue to learn because, you know, right now, like I said, with all the talent they've got in this squad, what you've got is a bunch of guys that were really good high school players. And listen, any basketball fan in the country understands this. When a highly talented player gets to college, they know how to shoot the ball most of the time. A lot of times defense is something they got to learn a little bit, and that's what he's teaching them a little bit right now. So it's a work in progress, but, you know, depending on which game, you know, they've been pretty good at sometimes, like they were on Saturday, and other times, boy, you walk away shaking your head.
Do you think the two games that they had against UCLA and Tennessee, both ranked teams at the time, of course, UCLA highly thought of, ranked in the top 10 all year long so far, and then Tennessee, a very talented team as well. Colorado lost by 12 to UCLA on the road there in L.A., and then they, in Boulder, hosted Tennessee and lost by 15 back on December the 4th. Do you think those two games will help them going into the night?
Well, I think so. I mean, they began, and both of those games, by the way, you know, they ended up to be 12 and 15-point games. Colorado was within four, I think it was, with, what, 2 or 3 minutes left of UCLA. Tennessee, they were within five late in the ball game, and then, you know, the way that works, free throws and those kind of things made it a little bit larger deficit than it really was for the bulk of that game. But I think they learned something in those games, obviously, about playing at a high level, what you have to do to compete, what little things will negatively affect you, get a turnover that ends up being a bucket on the other end, or having empty possessions up and down the court, those kind of things. I think that that's part of this learning process for this team. Here's one of the odd numbers about the Colorado Buffaloes. Think about this. There are three games, and because of the differential that you talked about with UCLA and Tennessee, and then a game the Buffs won against Maine that were lopsided by the time it was all said and done. In games inside 6 points within 4 minutes to play in a ball game, Colorado is now 7-1 this season. So what does that tell you about a basketball team? That tells you that they're young, they're sloppy at times, they're inconsistent, but they're talented enough to come back, overcome, and make plays when they have to. And so I think those are the lessons they're learning that they didn't do very well against UCLA and against Tennessee, a couple of top 15 teams, that they're hoping can improve a little bit, especially with a game, you know, against the number 7 Kansas team tonight.
What would a win over Kansas do for this program and this team this season?
Well, I think what it does, it helps just that learning curve we're talking about. I mean, it's not going to promise anything down the road because this team's going to be up and down the way, you know, just the way it's constituted and how the youthfulness of it. But what it does, I think it begins if they go down a stretch in a close ball game and end up winning against a top 10 team like Kansas, what it does, it's a great teaching tool for Tad. He can go back and say, okay, guys, look, we played at UCLA, we played at home against Tennessee, didn't win, here were the reasons. Now, if you beat Kansas and you are able to execute down the stretch, he can say, now look, here we did do what we're supposed to do against a high-quality team, and look what happened. So I think it's just part of the learning process this team's going to go through. And obviously, it would be a huge victory for Colorado if they're able to pull this thing off tonight. And it would be a great, I think, not just feather in their cap, but also a great building block in the learning process for Colorado.
Of course, Colorado used to be in the Big 8, in the Big 12, now in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 race right now, of course, UCLA the favorite, but Arizona's off to a great start. How do you handicap the race in the Pac-12 this year?
Well, I think right now, as you look at the league, you've got, I think, obviously the two you just mentioned are very good basketball teams. And I think they're kind of the cream of the crop as it stands right now. I think there's another section in there that Colorado's part of, Stanford's part of right now. And I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so I'm trying to think of some of the schools out there that are kind of in that second level. But there's certainly two of them right now that are kind of in a second level. Then you've got a third level, like a lot of conferences do. You've got a third level that's really struggling. Now, one that's down there in that third level is Oregon, okay? Watch out for Oregon, what Dana Almond has done there. He's been on one of those roles here in recent years where a lot of transfers, some one-and-dones, those kind of things. So every year that roster is rolling over, and I just think, you know, they're pretty talented. They played, who was it, Baylor the other night, pretty tough. They're pretty talented, and I think they're in that learning curve as well, trying to figure things out. They'll be a factor of this before it's all said and done, so they're going to be up there as well. The Buffs have got a chance. Certainly with the talent level they've got a chance, but they've got to quicken that learning curve a little bit. But right now, UCLA, obviously, getting to the Final Four last year and returning everybody is going to be the odds-on favorite. I think Arizona, and you always expect good play from Arizona with such a great and historic program they've had, but with the coaching change and all they lost from when they did have the coaching change, you lost a number of recruits, brought some other guys in. They've surprised people a little bit with how good they've been early on. But, they're going to be in the middle of this thing as well, undoubtedly.
All right, so you are the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And here's the thing that's interesting about radio broadcasting. Dusty and I have talked about this many, many times. In fact, we had this conversation recently. I've talked it over with others at play-by-play. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats as well. He was here at a Catbacker event years ago, and we talked about it. And he said, man, I appreciate what you guys do because you guys are doing high school sports. You don't have spotters. You don't have this. You don't have that, and so forth and so on. And he said, there are days everybody thinks that the grass is always greener on the other side, and you think, wow, it'd be awesome to be the voice of the Buffaloes, voice of Jayhawks, voice of the Wildcats. But I know there's a lot that is entailed. I said one of the biggest advantages of calling high school sports compared to what you do is that I am in my own bed virtually every night unless there's a tournament, whereas you, my friend, are traveling all over the place. And I know you had to drive all the way to Manhattan to cover basketball there in November. You were going back for football. Just give people an idea of your travel regiment as you try to cover teams, especially when the seasons overlap.
Well, it does get a little bit crazy. And I'll say this off the top here, what you said about doing high school games. I Brad Nessler was a friend of mine. Years ago, when I first got into radio, I was working at a station in Mankato, Minnesota, very early in my career. And Brad Nessler had come through the same station, a number of years ahead of me. Brad's, I don't know, about 12, 13 years older than I am. And so he had come through. So I got to know him through the people that were at the station. And he gave me I sent him a tape one time, and he said to me, he said, listen, if you can make a high school game sound really good, you can do college and professional. And this is kind of giving, guys that do the high school stuff a pat on the back because, we all know the way it is. I mean, I did it for many, many years. You get out there, you're doing a ball game, and, they've got the orange yard markers out there to start the game, and about 2 seconds into the game, there are no yard markers between the 10 and the 10, right? and then you got three guys wearing the same number out there, and you got guys that are on the roster. So if you can do a high school game, and I know you do some quality games out there, you can do high school games at a high level and make them sound good, you're a good broadcaster. By the time you get to the Power Five where I am, and I've done plenty of professional stuff over the years, you do have spotters and statistician and all those kind of things that help you. Now, they don't make the broadcast. You've got to understand how to use that and make your broadcast even better, but they certainly aid you in many respects. So that's the first thing. Secondly, when you get to the travel aspect of it, and between doing the college stuff, which I'm doing now, in the past I did a lot of pro stuff, and I do some national stuff for various networks around the country, that's when the travel really gets kind of crazy. And I'm not even sure if you could, you know, in a large part, I know a couple of guys that are doing some stuff with the NBA where they're trying to bounce around quite a bit and traveling commercially. With all the restrictions, all the COVID stuff going on, it's really become difficult. But it's a lot of sleepless nights. It's a lot of late flights or very early flights, or you get done with the game, and next thing you know, you get 2 hours of sleep, and you're at the airport because you got to leave on the 6 a.m. flight. And it gets to be a little bit hairy out there. And I'll be real honest with you. I did that for a number of years, and I didn't enjoy it. And that's why I said I love being the voice of a team where I'm still traveling, but not nearly as much as when you're bouncing around doing games all around the country for different leagues and those kind of things. And so that's why I really strayed away from that and said I like being the voice of a team because I do like sleeping in my own bed at least half the time, right?
Yeah, right, absolutely. Hey, so you're hanging out with John Bowden again. And you know, I think I have confused our buddy John a little bit because I saw one time – I think it might have been last year, year before, he put something on Facebook and he thought that I was a Nebraska Cornhusker fan. And so I have to admit, I'm going to pat myself on the back because I've kind of got that rope-a-dope move when it comes to teams here, because I've gone to Nebraska games. I lived in Omaha for a few years. I've gone to Oklahoma Sooner fan games, football, which is a great atmosphere. And I really enjoy that. I've been to Allen Fieldhouse, a great atmosphere. I went to a couple K-State football games. One of my kids is a big K-State fan, and I've got a split house when it comes to all of that, and I've done games on the radio for K-State women and filled in for K-State men a couple of times, and so
sure.
There are a lot of people that, you know, there's some people really know me well, know where my allegiance is if everybody played each other, who I cheer for, but there are a lot of people that are a little bit confused because I've bounced around like that. And I just want you to explain to Bowden that I am not a diehard Husker fan, okay? I respect the Huskers. I like Scott Frost, and I have good friends that live in Omaha and Lincoln, and they have been spoiled for many years, but not for the last decade or so. So just make sure you make that clear to Bowden. I'm not saying I don't like the Huskers, but I'm not a diehard Husker fan.
Well, I will do my best. You know, John, I'm not sure I'll be able to change his mind. I will at least make the case for you, Wade, that that's the case. You know, it is funny. When people, when they listen to us, they seem to get an idea that I know exactly where this you know, sportscaster, this man or woman, kind of falls on things. I've told people over the years, obviously I do the Buffaloes, and so I want the Buffaloes to do well. Sure. That goes without saying when you're voice of a program. But when it comes to a lot of things, I always tell people I've lost my fandom over the course of time. For too many years I've been in the business and I get to see how the sausage is made and those kind of things. So I did chuckle years ago. I was doing a national game and I got messages via social media, and it was about even. You know, it was 7 or 8 for one, 7 or 8 for the other, telling me that it was obvious I hated their program.
Yep.
And that's why I was saying the mean things about them. And a lot of times what happens when you say something that is factual but critical from a critiquing standpoint about their team, a fan believes you don't like their team, right?
Because
right. Or if you say something positive about the other team, they think, well, you obviously like them. I say all the times about fans, they see with their heart, not with their eyes.
Yes.
And so when you're doing a game and you happen to make a comment one way or the other, they obviously have got you pegged to know exactly what you're thinking. And most of the time, you know, here in Denver, Broncos fans have a real problem with Chris Collinsworth. They think he just hates the Broncos. And I chuckle at it all the time. I've gotten to know Chris over the years. And Chris doesn't care one way or the other. He's just doing a ball game. And that's true with virtually all of us. When you're doing a game, you do it just because you're trying to do a good job. You try and praise where praise is worthy. You critique where critique needs to be done. But people, boy, they take it personal. It's always interesting. But I'll do my best with John for you.
Yeah, that'd be good. I appreciate that. Who knew I had to go through the voice of the Buffs to try to get through to John about that? That's just a roundabout
John's
way.
John's pretty sensitive about that Husker thing now, being a CU fan.
Yeah, well, I know. He's a diehard CU fan. There's no doubt about it. And I respect and love him for that. And, you know, it's interesting what you brought up about fan bases. I remember a time where I was up in Northeast Kansas and I did a Baileyville B&B Centralia basketball doubleheader, girls and boys.
Right.
Heated rivals. They're like 8, 9, 10 miles apart. Heated rivals, so forth and so on. Both games were fantastic. It was just fantastic. Small high school basketball, class 1A. And the next day, I think it was a Tuesday night, so Wednesday morning, I'm in my office. I'm in this cubicle, so people can't see. I'm kind of hiding behind, and they got walls around me because people weren't supposed to see me, Mark, because I have a face
right.
for radio. You know how that works.
Sure.
Well, no, you probably don't. You're a better looking guy than I am. So Anyway, so the secretary there at our office, there's this parent that comes in, and she talked about how I listened to the broadcast, and I thought it was too biased towards Baileyville. And I kid you not, I can't make up this story. About half an hour later, a Baileyville fan came in, and they said, I can't believe it was biased the other way.
Sure.
And so they walked out within a half hour each other. Both had the same complaint, but the opposite team they thought I was biased towards. And the secretary came back, and she goes, did you hear all that? And I started chuckling, and I said, well, apparently I nailed it if I've upset both fan bases, right?
Yep, no doubt about it. Because, again, they see with their heart, not with their eyes. And, you know, that's true whether it comes from, somebody who's unaffiliated that comes in and does a broadcast, or whether it's a call in the court. You know, I try to make the point on our broadcast all the time. Listen, every call that goes against Colorado is not a bad call, and every call that goes against the opposition is not a good call. You got to remember that. And, you know, so there are times I try to point those things out. A call will be made, and the fans will be booing.
Sure.
It'll go against the Buffaloes, and I'll say, you know, it was a very good call, actually. And, of course, I'll get a few, you know, messages, via social media, where people are like, I can't believe you thought that. That is ridiculous. You obviously don't love the Buffs like I thought you did. Okay, settle down. Settle down. It was a good call by rule. Let's be honest, okay?
Right.
But, yeah, it's funny how that happens. But you know what? That passion we're talking about is why sports is so great, and why we love the atmosphere, whether it be, I don't care if it's junior high or high school or college or professional, whatever it is, that's what makes fans and the atmosphere and sports one of the things we love, because there is that kind of passion. It's not always objective passion, but it's a passion, and we like that very much.
Absolutely. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Mark. It's a holiday season, of course, Christmas 4 days away. Two-part question, best and worst Christmas song you've ever heard? Best and worst Christmas song you've ever heard?
Well, I know the one that just makes my skin crawl every time I hear it, and you can't go 2 seconds without hearing it. It's the one by Mariah Carey right now. Is it, you know what I'm talking about?
Anything by Mariah Carey I'm not a fan of, to be quite honest.
No, it's... oh, my goodness. Somebody is driving in a car right now in Kansas and yelling the name of it. It's the one that is nonstop that Mariah Carey did here a couple of years ago.
Okay.
That's the one... all I want, he said, all I want for Christmas is you?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Yep.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yeah, that one, just because it's nonstop, it is eternal. You can't get, you'll walk in from, I saw somebody put up a great video on Twitter the other day where every place this guy walked into, that song was playing. It's become the it song here the last few years. So just because of the nonstop of it, you know, that one makes my skin crawl. So I'll vote for that one for the worst. And for my favorite, oh, man, you know, I'd probably go with something a little more religious, kind of like a Come All Ye Faithful.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Silent Night. I think I got to go Silent Night now that I think about it.
I thought you might go with the 30-point buck. Have you heard the 30-point buck?
Well, that's the most fun Christmas song. Don't
yeah.
know about that.
Yeah, that song I'm okay with, but it didn't have to be as long as it is. It's a little bit too long.
Exactly. Yeah, that joke went on way too long, and after a while, it's not funny anymore.
Absolutely. All right, since you brought up social media, how can people send their complaints to you?
Oh, yeah, let me throw that out there.
Yeah, you bet.
On Twitter's the easiest way, at MJ Buffs Voice, at MJ Buffs Voice. Dial us up. You know, we're on now in today's day and age, you might be on local radio here in Denver across the state of Colorado, but you're worldwide on, you know, the Varsity Network app and SiriusXM and all the other ways you can get it. So I love hearing from Buffs fans around the country when they tune into our ball game. So I know in Kansas, tell you what, and my friends over on the Kansas side do a great job on their broadcast, but maybe you can kind of go back and forth tonight, just kind of compare and contrast and see how we're doing tonight for the ball game.
Yeah, if I let you know that question was coming, you could have pre-prepared and you could have just given out Brian Haney's social media or any other play-by-play guy so they get the complaints. I've been funny, you know?
Yeah. I've been friends with Brian for a long, long time. And as you well know, we brought up John Bowden. I called up Brian a couple years ago, and
yep.
he did a very, very special thing. And
yes,
that KU basketball program did a very special thing here a couple of years ago with John's daughter, who we lost here to cancer. And they did a phenomenal thing. And that's why I'm a big fan of Brian and the KU program. And it's a class organization and what they do. And so that's why we'll be at war tonight for 40 minutes, but there'll be great admiration going back and forth, not only from the radio broadcasters, but for the programs as well tonight.
Well said. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, and enjoy your time with Mr. Bowden, all right?
All right, Wade. Merry Christmas to you. See
Take care. That's Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, today on the Sports Ticket.